Hi, I'm Madeleine, and you're listening to the L&D Podcast. Today, I'll be talking to Laura, Director at the Management Centre, about returning from furlough.
Hi Laura, thanks so much for joining us today to talk to us about furlough. Before we get into it, it'd be really great if you could just tell us a bit about yourself and what it is that you do.
No problem. Thank you, first of all, for having me. I'm really excited to be here talking to you today. My name is Laura Sater, and I'm a director at the Management Centre Learning. And I have a dual role. So I have a part of my role, a learning development consultant. And I work with organisations to deliver training in things like leadership and management. So at Marie Curie, I've done the Step In, Step Up programme and Gateway to Management. And also the director part of my role, where it's much more strategic around what does the organisation need and what sort of direction are we going in at the moment.
So you have recently returned from furlough, I think that's right. When did you get back from furlough?
So I got back from furlough about 3 weeks ago now.
Okay.
So, and it's been intense.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Part of it's gone really quickly and part of it feels like it was an age ago.
Yeah, definitely. How long were you furloughed for?
So I was on furlough for 2 months. Mm-hmm. So starting at the end of April. And the way that I was on furlough, I was on rotation with some of my other colleagues. So we were taking it in turns to kind of do a month on and then someone else would come on after that month.
How did you find that? I guess that's a very loaded question. I'm sure there were lots of things you experienced throughout that. But I suppose starting from when you were asked to be furloughed, how did that make you feel?
So I guess I was in a different position to a lot of other people who have been asked to go on furlough, in that as a director, it was a joint decision. I had a say in that decision-making process. And so part of the decision was around what's best for the organisation, and I absolutely knew it was the best thing for our organisation. Mm-hmm. And the other part was just going, it's not about just me, I have to think about the team, the impact on others that this is having as well. And there's, you know, there's that pressure to get it right for everyone and how we communicate that. And how do we make sure that it's right for the organisation as well? So I think it's slightly different pressures in terms of how that process felt for me.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned about doing what's best for the organisation, because I think that was something when kind of furlough all came about, that it was really hard to differentiate the feeling of we're doing this because it's what the, you know, you're being helpful by going on furlough because you're helping the organisation. But I think for a lot of people, it did kind of, it didn't feel nice, I think, being asked to go on furlough. I don't know if you kind of have an experience of anyone at the management centre who maybe was asked to be furloughed and didn't kind of dealt with it maybe a bit differently, being in a different position to you.
I think I'm very lucky in that in our organisation, everyone is so committed to the work that we do and the organisation. They completely understood why we were doing it. I think you're right, though. There is an emotional reaction to it. It's never nice to be asked, like, actually, we just need you to take some time off for a while. And then it can feel quite emotional in terms of that process and what that means for you and how you interpret that. I do think, though, how you phrased it is a really nice way in saying, actually, for organisations that are going through this and asking people to do this, it's helpful for the organisation. We want the organisation to still be here so that you can come back off furlough. That's ultimately what we're going for. Yeah. And I'm just lucky that the people I work with completely got that straight away.
Yeah, I guess a big part of that as well is communication, how you communicated that message from the beginning about furlough, because I think that's just not necessarily at Marie Curie, but just in general to do with furlough. You've kind of read things about the communication just being quite either inconsistent or not entirely clear. And I think that just leaves people with a bit more confusion over why it is that they're being asked to go on furlough and things. So it's that back to that communication is key.
I absolutely agree with you. Communication is so important, and it's about listening to what at the time what other people's concerns were, what their questions were, and making time for that, and so that you could clarify that position. And I do think there's something as well, is that, you know, as directors, we all took a turn being on furlough, and just to kind of say we're all in it too. This isn't just us putting you on furlough, we're all going through this process, because it is about ultimately about making sure we're still here in the future.
How did you manage communicating with people who were furloughed, or when you were furloughed, communicating back with people at the management centre? Because I know a few organisations have taken very different stances on either completely cutting off all communication, worried about the risk of getting penalties further down the line, or people that didn't really honour the furlough arrangement and got people working anyway, or somewhere in between, which is kind of what we did at Marie Curie, where we kept communication with people who have been furloughed through a furlough hub and a furlough newsletter, but just making sure that information wasn't asking anything of anyone. How was it for you?
So absolutely more along the lines of what you did at Marie Curie, because communication is still vital. We don't want people to come back off furlough and feel completely out of the loop, particularly after a long period of time, to not understand where the business is, to not understand the context. And I think we're, you know, absolutely not asking anyone to do any work, because when you're on furlough, that's not what it's about. But we, you know, had just a newsletter that goes out on a regular basis, just to kind of say, these are kind of key things that are happening at the organisation. These are key things that we are working on to ensure that stuff is happening within the organisation as well. And we also just had socials on Zoom, and just we're just like on a, because we're all very close, and you know, an evening once a month, get together with gin and tonic or whatever your preference of drink is, and just find out, you know, how everyone's doing, and you know, find out what vegetables people are growing,
what new hobbies everyone has.
Exactly. So I think there was that sort of that balanced element of we understand that you want to know what's going on with the organisation, so we're going to give you that information, and if you want different types of information, let us know, because we're more than happy to provide that information. And then personally as well, you know, we care about you as individuals, and therefore we want to know what's going on with you outside of work, and that important element of it.
Yeah, I guess a big thing about kind of being at work, and especially kind of being in your place of work, so in the office or where you're normally based, it's so much about socializing, and you don't really realize that. It's kind of thinking now that there are people that I spend every day with normally that I haven't seen for months, kind of face to face, just because we haven't been in the office, but you spend so much time with them, and you kind of don't realize how big of a part of your life they are until they're not in it anymore. So I think that social aspect of it is really, really important, especially if you've been furloughed, like you say, because you don't even have meetings with people, so you don't even get that opportunity to catch up.
Yeah, and I think that's very important. And I think when you are on furlough, you know, particularly in the middle of lockdown, it was very isolating, and you did feel disconnected from people, and you weren't getting that social interaction element. And so it's about saying, you know, we care, and we would love to hear what's going on with you. And it's, you know, it's not compulsory to come to and sign on and tell us what's going on. But, you know, we do want to know, and we, you know, just want to find out how you are doing. Because otherwise I think that isolation can be wearing and fatiguing on people, whereas particularly if you're used to socialising and seeing people every single day from work.
Yeah, it was a massive change, that's for sure. How has it been for you since you've come back from furlough? So you mentioned you've been back for 3 weeks now. How did you find that transition back from being furloughed to coming back to work?
So I was, a few days beforehand, I was so excited. So keen to be back. I was buzzing around going back. Very exciting. And then I think those first few days, it's very intense change of speed. You kind of gotten used to kind of, oh, I can do things when I like, and you've got your own sort of pace. And then you're suddenly back in it and you realise, okay, yes, I've got to be on top of this again. So it's very much a change of speed. But I think the things that really struck out for me was it was so great just finding out what's going on with other people, you know, all of our customers, all the people that we work with, what's going on in their world. And that has been fantastic, just to kind of get a sense of what's been happening. And then the other thing that's been really great for me as well is actually seeing some of the ideas that, you know, we were talking about before we went on furlough, in terms of what do people in the sector need at the moment, and seeing those ideas come to life. So I delivered, one of our new programs for the first time the other week on resilience, you know, tools to really help people when we are going through times of challenge like now. And it was just really energizing for me to see that real life application for people and see them finding it useful and knowing that they can take it away and use that now. So there was something quite fulfilling about that for me in terms of returning from furlough. So just remembering that purpose and connecting to that purpose that I have in the work that I do.
I like that you mentioned about things, having things that you remember as ideas, and then when you come back, they've developed into something more than an idea. And it's not very often that when you're involved in that kind of creating the idea and developing it, that you really take a step back and look at how far it's come. So it's quite an interesting perspective to be able to be there at the beginning, completely step back, and then come back and look at it, look at what it is now. It's not very often that you get that without kind of stepping away or being completely disassociated from it. So that's really interesting, actually, to be able to really be able to say, wow, I really recognize that distinct difference, because you weren't kind of swept in the developing of it.
I agree with you. And I think, you know, that's a, you know, just a, the habits we get into is that when you're with something from the very beginning, you forget how much of a journey you've been on. And actually, there's something really powerful about stepping back, and just, you know, that's a really nice example of stepping back and actually being able to see that change and where it's got to. And I think actually something else from being on furlough that really stood out for me was that chance to step back and reflect on kind of my own journey and my own development, and then being able to go, okay, what does this mean for me when I do come back from furlough? How am I going to, you know, this journey that I've been on so far, what's next for me when I'm back? What does that mean for me? And just, so I think that stepping back and reflecting has been so important in lots of different elements.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's not very often that you get that opportunity in your day to day, or that you kind of make the time to do that. So it's almost nice to be forced to have the time to reflect, because reflection is so important.
And I think also just bearing in mind that having had that opportunity to step back and reflect when returning from furlough, still making time for it, because you can get swept up, like I was saying, that change of speed can get swept up so quickly with things that you don't build in that practice that you've developed over the last few months. And therefore, it's just reminding myself, I still need to make that time. I still need to step back and reflect.
And I guess that leads very nicely onto my next question, which is just having both been furloughed and also just been working at an organisation where your colleagues have also been furloughed and you haven't been. Do you have any tips for people on, I guess, coming back from furlough mainly, because that's kind of what we're starting to see now, is people starting to come back or thinking about coming back. Do you have any tips on how to, you know, you mentioned the change of pace and the reflection. Do you have any tips on how to manage that change?
Yeah, so I think there was a few things I consciously did, and also have sort of picked up in the last few weeks in terms of things to do. I think one of the things I consciously did was before, like literally just before I came back, is get myself into a routine. So that I'm getting up and I'm, you know, ready to go, and I'm making time for lunch at a certain time and so on. Just getting back into that routine, because it can get a little bit lost sometimes when you're on furlough. And the other thing that I did was go, okay, where's my workspace? Because I'm working from home at the moment still, and where's that space where I want to do my work, and just making sure it's a distinct space from other spaces that I use at home. Even if, you know, I don't think for anyone out there, even if it's just a different side to the sofa you would normally work on,
yeah.
Just so that you can create those boundaries between work and home still, even though you might still be in your same space in terms of the house, but just creating those different spaces, I think, has helped me to be able to make that switch.
Yeah, I think even just, I mean, definitely for coming back from furlough, but I think just in general, they're very good tips in working from home. We're all working from home at the moment, and they're very good at physically creating distinctions between work and home to help you switch off at the end of the day. And I'm sure we could do a whole different podcast episode on that, on switching off and working from home. But
and do you know what, I think that there's something really important that it, you know, is about actually do switch off, because it's so easy to get sucked into the intensity and the pace of things that you end up working really long hours, and that's not good for you. So it is about going, I still need to be kind to myself. I still need to, you know, be aware of the hours that I'm working, step away, recharge, ready to go for the next day. Otherwise, you're just going to be putting extra stress and pressure on yourself. That's not going to help you in the long term or the organization in the long term. So I think it's just being aware of that as well.
Sorry, you mentioned you had a few others, but I interrupted you there.
No, it's fine. No, it's good to keep talking. I guess the other thing that I have found really useful is just talk to colleagues about their experiences and share experiences, and just finding out how they are and what they've been up to, and things that they've found that's helped them or is helping them at the moment, because everyone's experienced this in different ways as well. Everyone's had their own journey, and I think it's just good to check in with each other and find out how it's been, and talk to each other.
Again, it comes back to that communication, doesn't it? That never changes. Communication is just so important.
It comes back to just being kind to yourself, whether you're on furlough or whether you've just come off furlough or you haven't been on furlough. It has been a really challenging time for everyone, and people can put lots of unhealthy or unhelpful stories in their head, and actually just be kind to yourself. We're all figuring it out.
there is some comfort in knowing that absolutely no one knows what's going on. So we're not alone.
Exactly.
We're all working this out together.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your experience of furlough with us. It's really important. And again, it's that communication. So we really appreciate you coming and sharing with us. And I'm sure it's been really useful for people that are coming off furlough, but also people that haven't been. I found it really useful. So thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.